Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Christmas midnight service comes from our gospel reading of Luke. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Thus far the text. What does a mother ponder in the moment after giving birth? Does she ponder the last couple of hours as she labored and endured pain that she never thought possible? Does she ponder the last 9 months as her body changed and morphed and did things that it never had done before? Perhaps she thinks about the miracle that what was once kicking inside of her, squirming and moving, is now there, lying in her arms. Maybe her mind is racing with how her life is now changed forever. Maybe she's overwhelmed with the thought that she now has to care for this little helpless little baby, and she doesn't even know how to nurse or properly fasten a diaper. Maybe the ponderings in her mind are a jumbled mess of joy and terror and relief and exhaustion. Perhaps it's a little bit of everything. And surely the same was true for Mary. She's no different than any other mother who has ever given birth for the very first time. And Joseph, too, he was the same as all of those first-time dads who don't have a clue but are going to pretend to muddle through it until they do. But certainly Mary had something to treasure, something more to ponder than all of these things in her heart, more than the rest of us. For here, lying in her arms, is the child that was promised to her 9 months earlier by the angel Gabriel. Here, nursing at her breast, is the child who just moments before was worshipped by a bunch of strangers who had the most extraordinary tale to tell of angels and choirs and singing and glory. Here, cooing and crying and soiling and slobbering, is the very God of the universe, wrapped up in a tiny bundle small enough to be laid in a manger. It's a different sort of thing to ponder, to be sure. We can try and put ourselves in her shoes, and perhaps maybe we should this Christmas night, but I'm not sure that we'll ever even get close to understanding that the things that were treasured up in her heart. Mary was now holding God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. Gabriel had told her this. Her husband had certainly shared his story of his dream as well. And now the shepherds had said the very same thing. How that was going to look, I'm sure she doesn't really know. A first-time parent doesn't know what it's like to be a parent, no matter how much they talk about it to other people. And add to the fact that this child was God, was Christ, was the Savior of the world. How does a mere mortal understand all of this? But there in her arms was her baby boy, who was born to bring peace to mankind, peace with God, who was named Jesus because he was going to save his people from their sins. I suppose she treasured and pondered the way any mother would, in hope and joy and uncertainty. But surely a mother doesn't stop treasuring and pondering soon after the birth of her child. She does this up until her very last day of life, and so Mary must have as well. What must it have been like to see Simeon hold her baby in his arms, right there in the temple courts, and thank God that he had now seen the Lord's Christ? What must have gone through her head when a knock on the door answered to exotic men from a different country, and they offered her child gold fit for a king, and frankincense and myrrh meant for a funeral? What sort of abject terror must have cut her right in the gut as she lost her kid in Jerusalem for 3 days, and then the confusion that must have been across her mind as he exclaimed, "Where else would I be except here in my father's house?" What did she think when her grown-up child turned water into wine? Or when he told a group of people that they were all of them were his mother and brothers and sisters? What sort of dread must have pierced her heart when she stood helpless at the foot of the cross, watching her son die a torturous death? And what unimaginable joy must have washed over her as she saw him standing there, alive once again, 3 days later, risen from the dead? I don't know the answer to any of these things. I don't think any of us do. But perhaps it's something akin to the pondering that we all might have this midnight as we celebrate the birth of our God and our Savior and contemplate the reason why he took on our flesh. It's something in between unbelief and blind faith, knowing that the unimaginable, the impossible, the completely irrational and illogical is actually true despite the fact that it can't be. It's the type of stuff like "the Lord, I believe, help my unbelief" that we must hold on to in the midst of the impossible made possible. It's the trust that only a sinner can have when his God says, "You are forgiven." Tonight, we celebrate many things. Some of them have nothing to do with church, and that is all right. We can treasure up those things in our hearts as well. The beauty of the Christmas tree, the feast laid out for us tomorrow at the dinner table. We can ponder how wonderful it is to have family and friends around, or think lovingly of the years gone by when all of these memories that we had made in the past come to mind again. Do all of these things. They're all gifts from your God. They're good. Enjoy them. Treasure them up in your hearts. But more than all of that, let us ponder Jesus, even tonight. Let us ponder God in the flesh and the salvation that he's brought to us. Let us treasure up in our hearts the fact that while we were still sinners, God became one of us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us ponder this mystery of the incarnation, that the God of the universe was a baby in a manger, and that he came here to earth so that he could live our very life, experience all of the things that we as humans must experience. Let us treasure up the cross and the grave and the resurrection when Jesus won for us the victory over sin and death and the power of the devil. And finally, let us ponder the Word made flesh. Come to us this very day. Let us ponder the Word that created all things, you and me. Knit us together in our mother's wombs, and that Word who became man, and that Word who is the very Word that speaks forgiveness into our ears, into our doubting and sinful hearts. Let us ponder the miracle of our baptism, where you are washed clean, where you were made to be a child of God, where you were buried deep into the death of your beloved Savior and raised to new life in his resurrection. And let us ponder at last a baby placed in a manger. A manger. That certainly was no accident. For that very first Christmas morning, the Word made flesh in the wrappings of an infant is laid inside of a vessel that's meant for food. Where else would he be laid? Isn't he the bread of life, the bread of heaven, come down for you? Doesn't he feed you today with his very own body and blood? I know, perhaps it's all too much to ponder and make sense of. I would think that it was for Mary too, but that's okay. Even though we can't wrap our minds around this whole God in the flesh thing, it makes no difference. He was, he is, even right now, and He is for you, for your forgiveness and your salvation, even today. Let us ponder the miraculous and then receive in faith the impossible, the salvation of our souls from this Christ child, from Mary. In the name of Jesus.